Morning. Welcome. Welcome to worship. Thank you for coming this morning. If you are visiting with us, we are glad you're here. On the right-hand side of the church bulletin in the church calendar box, you'll see the activities of this upcoming week. Wednesday night at 6:30, we have a supper followed by Bible study and prayer. Please come if you are able. Wednesday night at 6:30. Barbecue is on the menu this Wednesday night. Next Sunday is our third Sunday Family Fellowship Luncheon. It'll be hosted by Ryan and Addie Walker. The next WIC Bible study is Tuesday night, March the 21st at 5:45 p.m. And then it's our turn to pack boxes at Compassion Ministries on Wednesday night, March the 22nd, after Bible study and prayer. That's a week from this coming Wednesday. Down at the bottom of your bulletin, you'll see the message about Steve Hill. Please welcome to our pulpit today the Reverend Steve Hill. He has a Bachelor of Science degree from Mississippi State University and a Master of Divinity degree from Reformed Theological Seminary. Steve was ordained in Mississippi Valley Presbytery in 1990 and has served in churches in Mississippi and North Carolina. And since 2010, Steve and his wife of 24 years, Diane, have been missionaries with Peru Mission. They are serving in Celandine, a small city amongst the high mountains of northern Peru. Steve is a circuit preacher. He serves five rural churches around Celandine monthly. Within Celandine, Steve weekly mentors church leaders and preaches in the Celandine Presbyterian Church. And his wife, Diane, teaches English to adults and children during the week, and she also teaches a large lady Sunday school class and weekly children's Sunday school classes. And Steve is going to bring our message to us this morning when it comes time to do that. So please welcome him, and thank you for coming, Steve. In the middle, or right above that, you'll see the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 5. And question 5 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, are there more gods than one? And the answer is,
there is but one holy, the living, true God.
Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 and 11. Would you read it with me responsively? As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God.
My soul thirsts for God, the living God.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?
Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God.
This morning is number 100, Holy, Holy, Holy. Would you please stand if you are able to and take a hymn book and turn to hymn number 100. Let's sing all stanzas of Holy, Holy, Holy. Confess our faith together using the ancient Apostles' Creed. Christian, what is it that you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son.
You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, You are a God of grace. You love us, but we have not loved You. You call, but we do not listen. You speak, but we do not hear, because we are lazy and indifferent. You summon us, but we do not answer. We walk away from neighbors in need, wrapped up in our own selfish concerns. By our actions and our attitudes, we condone what You condemn. Our merciful Lord, we admit our sin, and we turn to You in full repentance to ask for Your gracious forgiveness. Restore us to full communion with Yourself. We pray that Your name would be hallowed among us. For You are the great sovereign ruler of the universe. May Your kingdom and Your righteousness and Your glory be our earnest pursuit. We pray for those in our midst. We pray for salvation for the lost. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray, especially we remember Sarah Nell. We pray for comfort for the grieving. We pray for rest for the weary. We pray for strength for the weak. We pray for missionaries of Jesus Christ all over the world. Would You, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, bring souls to Jesus through them? We pray for the missionaries that we personally know. We pray for the Bolings in Mexico, for the chaplains with Mission to the World, for the Davilas in Costa Rica, for the Dehogues in North Africa, for the Pattersons with Wycliffe Bible Translators, for the Romains working with Muslims in New York City, for the Cochets in France, for Larry Brown with African Bible College in Malawi. I pray for them all to be faithful missionaries of Jesus Christ, and for the gospel to go out from them and to transform lives and to make disciples for Jesus Christ. We pray for Steve and Diane Hill this morning. We pray for their work in Peru. We thank You for the encouragement that we received from hearing what he is doing in Celandine and in the rural churches around there. We pray for the work that he is doing, that it will thrive in his absence. We pray for the three missionaries' families who are coming to help him. And we pray that the work will increase and grow and prosper. Father, we pray for Steve's mother who has recently had heart surgery. We pray that You would continue to strengthen her and heal her. We pray for Diane as she is in California with her terminally ill sister. We would commit them into Your care and pray for them. Father, we pray for Steve as he preaches to us this morning. We pray that You would open our hearts, that You would quicken our hearts to hear You when You speak. We pray that You'd cause us to be diligent and faithful in hearing Your Word, the Bible, and to respond when You call us to take action. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. page 807 in the back of your hymn book, you will find the words to Psalm 65. And that is our responsive reading this morning. Psalm 65. So if you would please turn there and let's read it together responsively. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Who still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the turmoil of the nations. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. Our next hymn is number 600. Please take your hymn book and turn to hymn number 600 and let's all stand and sing. He leadeth me. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to receive our morning offering. Our Father in heaven, you have taught us to bring a portion of what you have given to us on the first day of the week. And so we want to bring these tithes and offerings not grudgingly, but with cheerful hearts. And we pray that you will take them and use them to extend your kingdom and your righteousness to the uttermost parts of the earth. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel like I left something out this morning, but I think we'll just skip it. It was the invocation and the doxology. We can just skip it. I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. After the choir sings a special, then Steve is going to come and preach to us.
Thank you. Good morning. When I left Ripley, there was snow on the ground this morning. The ice didn't get off my car till I got to Oxford. So it was a surprise, to say the least. Diane and I are very grateful to have your prayers and your financial support in our work in Peru. We can't do what we do without you. So we want to say thank you. And have we given y'all a bell? A llama bell? I guess not.
I'm not sure.
Here is your llama bell. Got a little llama on top. You can use it in Sunday school or give it to one of the elders to ring when the pastor goes too long. And then here's just a little hand-painted plate that they make. It's actually from Cajamarca. Just a little souvenir and a piece of paper that has pictures from where we are that you can hang on the wall somewhere. Just to remember to pray for us. But we are in way, way over our heads, okay? We need your prayers. We can't do this in our own ability, in our own strength. And Harold, did I tell you I was preaching out of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6?
No, but you use that verse in Sunday school.
Okay.
So I just took it on myself to read.
That was perfect. Like God's clicking it all together here. I'm from Ripley, Mississippi. Graduated 1975, so I'm old. I had the big 6-0 birthday this year, just last month, and wow, I thought old people were 60. But now that I'm there, it doesn't seem nearly that old. So by the grace of God, we are where we are and doing what we are, and it's a blessed thought that He leadeth me. Let me, I was going to read. The song we just sang, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. And when my task on earth is done, when by grace the victory's won. If your heart's still beating, if you still have breath, your task on earth is not done. Okay? You can retire from work, but you can't retire from God. God's got stuff for you folks to do or you wouldn't be here. Okay? That doesn't mean you got to be a missionary overseas anyway, but it does mean you keep serving the Lord. You keep serving the Lord. That's a privilege we have. And He's not calling us up there till He's done with us down here. Now, He's working in us, but He also works through us. Open your mouth. Share the good news. Tell others. Invite them to church. Invite them to Christ. Invite them. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, keeps saying, come. Come to me. And we need to be sharing that invitation with others to come. He says, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leads me. I just finished reading through the Pilgrim's Progress on the Christiana side, the girl side of the wife. You know, he leaves, he can't get his wife or his kids to believe that destruction is coming, and so he leaves without them. Pilgrim does in Pilgrim's Progress. And the second half is where she comes under conviction of sin, and she knows that they live in the city of destruction also, and they need to go to the celestial city. And so she with the kids follows. And at the end is a wonderful scene where they come to the Jordan. Jordan represents death. And we all have to pass through death. And for some that had weaker faith, the Jordan was actually lower. And it wasn't so hard. Their death was easy. But for others with stronger faith, they had a more difficult death, but they were able to glorify God through that even. And it says they can see on the other side the armies and the people waiting on them to join on the other side. And you don't see what's inside the city, but you see those waiting to receive them after they cross over death and go into the celestial city. He leadeth me by His own hand. Think about that. Almighty God, Jehovah God, God of the Israel from the beginning, Adam and Eve up until today, leads us by His own hand. What better shepherd could you ask for? In Spanish, pastor is shepherd, which you have a pastor, a shepherd here in your church by the grace of God. And He leads us through the pastor, through His Word, by His own hand. And I want to be a faithful follower. A lot of sheep in Peru, people dragging them down the street on a rope. And it hit me one time. I saw a guy struggling with his sheep, dragging. Come on, you stupid sheep. You know, of course, that's in Spanish. And the sheep is fighting every step. And I thought, God, how many times is that me? You're trying to lead me to greener pastures, to still waters, and I'm fighting you every step of the way. That's not trusting in the Lord. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, as the pastor has already read. Let me start with verse 1 just to give you context. Hijo mío. Oh, sorry, that's in Spanish. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Proverbs 3:1. Who's writing Proverbs?
Solomon
is writing Proverbs. Who's he writing it to, according to this verse?
His son.
Solomon is a good parent who wants to pass down the truth to his kids. That's why we have Proverbs. You realize who Solomon was, right? Richest guy, smartest guy, more wisdom than any before him. Later on in the Gospels it says, one greater than Solomon is in your presence. And that was Jesus. But in Solomon's day, kings would travel across continents to hear just a few words of Solomon. To hear that wisdom God had given him. You remember, God gave Solomon a dream and said, what do you want? You pick it. It's like a wish from a genie. How many of you would have asked for wisdom? Not riches, not fame, not fortune, not good looks or whatever. But wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom. It pleased God that he was thinking of his reign and his role as a king to care for God's people, the Israelites. And God blessed him with the riches and fame as well. But the wisdom, people would come from far and wide. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know what to do. And if they had the privilege of having a meeting with Solomon, they would hear that wisdom. And they would bring treasures in payment for just a few words of that wisdom. And look what you have right here. You've got the wisdom of Solomon. You've got one greater than Solomon, Jesus Christ. You have His Word. Does it matter? Are you seeking that wisdom from God? My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. I'm not against long life and peace.
I think that's a good idea. I'd like to have some of that. He says, if you keep His word, you'll have it. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Keep it close. On your phone, on your computer, or in your pocket, in your car, whatever. Keep the Word of God close. Meditate on it. Think about it. Verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. Now, whether we have man's esteem is pretty fickle, but to have God's esteem is an amazing thing. And then he goes on and says, trust in the Lord. Again, who wrote this? Solomon. Wisest man on earth. He says, trust in the Lord. It is wisdom to trust in the Lord. Are you doing that? No matter what the doctor said, no matter what news you've received, are you trusting in the Lord or not? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not a portion, not on Sunday, and forgetting the rest of the week. With all your heart, with all of who you are. And lean not on your own understanding. It's like if you got a cane or a crutch, you have to put your weight on that because you can't hold yourself up. And that's what it's saying. What are you leaning on? What are you trusting in? These bars here, was that retrofitted in or did that originally how they constructed it? Retro? Original. Okay, they built it like that. If those bars weren't there with that arch roof, what's it doing? It's pushing the walls out. These bars are holding them in so they don't fall, right? Y'all understand that? Engineering 101 here. Okay? Y'all had confidence when you came in here that roof wasn't going to fall on your head. Did you not? I don't think you'd be here if you had an inkling that roof was getting ready to fall. You had confidence that pew was going to hold you up, that it would support your weight. You plus your friends. You have confidence. You trust in it. You lean on it. You're not sitting sort of halfway, not real sure about it. No, you've put your complete weight upon it. And that's what trusting in God is. It's not putting part of your weight on Him and part on yourself. It's totally, completely resting in Him. Are you doing that? I don't want to just talk theory here. I want to talk about your personal, private life. Are you trusting Him? That's what He wants. Trust Him with all your heart. You know, we try to figure out so much stuff. And we, you know, go to counselors or Google or whatever to get answers. But are we going to God? Are we trusting in Him, leaning not on our own understanding? The first time Diane and I went to Peru, we knew Dr. Alonzo Ramirez. He had come to RTS and had started Peru Mission with Bill Bradford, who's pastor now at Lawndale Tupelo, and Wes Baker, who's still in Peru. And so Alonzo invited us to come to Peru. I was between churches. I'd been pastoring in North Carolina and had come back here and out on our home place out there and was just doing supply preaching. And he found out about that, said, why don't you come to Peru and see maybe if God's got a place for you there? And I'd done a lot of short-term mission trips and loved it. We'd been to Kenya. We'd been to Mexico several times, Honduras. And so we were all for that. But talking about packing up everything and leaving, that was another story. But anyway, we went. And we knew Alonzo. Our churches had supported him over the years. We had trust in Alonzo. We fly to Lima, the capital of Peru, 10 million people. And our next flight to Cajamarca, where Alonzo was canceled. We didn't have a plan B. We didn't have a phone number. We didn't have anything. We were in Peru, in the capital city, in the airport. And they make an announcement on the loudspeaker in Spanish, and everybody starts talking and rushes the desk, and we're looking at each other, and what just happened? We don't know what's going on. And so this line is all mobbing the desk there and getting new flights or whatever changes they need. And one of the people there had compassion on us and saw the bewildered look on our faces and said and spoke in broken English, "Just wait here. You know, they'll help you." And so we waited, and when everybody finished, this lady that was rapid-fire Spanish helping all these people turned the switch on and English came out. It was wonderful. And we found out our flight had been canceled. We found out it was going the next day. And we found out, you know, we didn't have anybody we knew in Lima. And this guy set us up in a hotel. He called a taxi, actually it was a she, and said they will feed you breakfast and they will meet you in the morning and have your bags packed and be ready to go. And you'll, you know, come back to the airport and take your flight. And that was the only thing we had. So we get in a car with a guy we don't know going to a place we've never been to spend the night, we hope, and not be robbed and left in an alley somewhere. And it turned out exactly as the lady at the airport said. In fact, one of my pieces of luggage had been lost in the whole thing. And as we're coming back the next day after a peaceful night and a good breakfast, we get to the airport, and our faithful taxi driver had brought us there and dropped us at the right door and everything. We get there, and here's a guy. There goes my suitcase. The guy's carrying my suitcase. And I said, hey. You know, all I could do. And he just, you know, motioned me to follow him, went to the desk, and they had it all worked out. Got on a plane and went to Cajamarca, and there's Alonzo waiting on us. God took care of us. But according to our own understanding, we didn't know what to do, how to do it, or anything. But God took care of us. And it's been that way in Peru ever since. I struggle with a call to go to Peru as a missionary. And like I said, I'd done all these short trips, but I'd never pack my bags, sell my vehicle, say goodbye to everybody and go live in a foreign country with a language I don't speak. And that was hard. But every step of the way, He leadeth me by His own hand. And I wouldn't recommend learning a new language at 50 plus years of age, but we learned a new language. I'm preaching every Sunday, sometimes at least three times a week in Spanish. Si ustedes quieren, puedo predicar ahora en español, si quiere. Yes or no? I guess that was a no then, huh? But the point is God did that. God can take an old guy from Ripley, Mississippi, who flunked out at Ole Miss and flunked out at State, and make him into a missionary. God can do that. He's big enough to do that. He leadeth me, O blessed thought.
and I lean not on my own understanding. To me, it doesn't make sense for a guy from Ripley, Mississippi to be a missionary in the Andes Mountains in Peru. Living in a dirt house, walls about that thick, adobe, very comfortable, very clean. But God does that. God can change your world, but you got to trust Him. When your own understanding says, no, no, red flag, warning, warning, trust in the Lord. Your hope, your confidence is in Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Again, not just on Sunday. In all your ways. The word there in Hebrew for trust is actually fall on your face and beg and plead for help and mercy. In other words, this is not plan B or plan C. This is my only hope. My only plan is to trust God. I don't have a plan B. I don't have another option. He's it. And He's enough. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. The idea there is to clear the way. It's all these obstacles, all these problems, all these detours, all this kind of stuff, and to open it up and clear the way. I was telling them in Sunday school, in high school, I worked over here on this bypass when they were building. Randall Gooseby was building it. And I worked over here. And, you know, you cut the hills and you use the dirt to fill the hollers, right? And you level out the road. You make it straight. You make it good, easy to pass. That's what God does when we trust Him. I'm not a salesman. One of my fears, I had three of them. I didn't want to learn a new language. I didn't want to leave everything. And I didn't want to have to ask people for money. I'm not a salesman type. But God has provided exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could think or imagine. God uses us to help a guy, a pastor, put two of his kids through college. The money that we received from you and from others, we're able to give to this pastor to help him put his kids in college. We're able to give to another to pay for a medical bill. We're able to give to another just to put food on their table. God has enabled us with the abundance that He provides to provide for others. We've never given as much money as when we became missionaries. I mean, I'd be bragging if I told you how much, but it's been amazing to us. And it's like R.G. Letourneau, the guy that made all the heavy construction equipment, said, the more I shovel out, the more God shovels in, and God's got a bigger shovel. The more we give, the more we get coming in. And we're amazed. We're amazed to see that. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And then verse 7 says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you're too smart for this Bible stuff. Don't think you're too good for God's way. God's way is what's going to get you there. All the other ways are detours. They'll get you lost. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. God has shown us again and again He's faithful. He provides. He takes care of His people. We've seen some difficult situations that God has worked it out to where that difficulty was a step
and getting us to the blessing, to the answer. And it's like if you got a tractor and you want to show how stout it is, you tie a chain around the corn stalk and pull it up, right? That doesn't show anything, though. A little moped could pull a corn stalk, but if you tie it to a big tree and pull it up, you can say, yeah, that's a stout tractor. Well, God so leads us into problems that are more difficult than we could ever think of being able to handle. And then when we're on that really big stump, and he pulls it up, we say, whoa, I got a mighty God. My God is able. He is able. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what your circumstances are, but God is able to deal with it. When he told that little teenage girl, probably Mary, you're going to have a baby. She says, don't have a husband yet. Don't work like that. God says, I'm able. And she did. The Savior for us all, Jesus. There's not another. There's not another. He is the Savior of the world for those who trust in Him and repent of their own sins, who lean not on their own understanding. How can a guy dying on a cross 2,000 years ago save me today? You lean not on your own understanding and you trust in Him. We drive on these roads in Peru, one lane, I showed some pictures of them, and you're going around the mountain. You don't know what's coming around that other curve. It's two-way traffic in one lane road, curvy mountain roads, and with a drop of 1,000 feet or more. And you just blow your horn and pray that nothing's coming when you go around that turn. Or if something does come, that you'll have a wide place to pass. You have to trust in the Lord for what's you can't see, for what's ahead of you that you don't know about. You have to trust Him. And when it comes, you have to trust Him to get you around it, to get you through it. This too. I forget, one of those old preachers says his favorite verse in the Bible is, and it came to pass. It passes. The troubles, the trials, they pass. And we'll pass through it because we have a God who is clearing the way. Diane's son, my stepson, went to Liberty University and got his counseling degree there. And he's counseling these guys in jail and girls on drugs. And he said, they don't have problem-solving ability. I mean, they go in this direction, there's a problem. They go in that one. And all these problems because they don't trust in the Lord. They're leaning on their own understanding, and everywhere they turn, there's another roadblock. There's another problem. There's another situation they can't overcome. And if we don't trust in the Lord, our lives are going to be littered with these kind of issues that we don't even know where to turn. And I'm not saying if you do trust in the Lord, there won't be problems, but I'm saying He's going to get you through. He's going to pull you through those swampy places. He's going to pull you through those high hills you think you can't take another step. He's going to pull you through it. That's the promise here. That's the wisdom of Solomon. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. He leadeth me, a blessed thought, a words with heavenly comfort fraught. You know, not just with a rope, but by His own hand. The little child is barely able to walk. The little child that doesn't know the difference in danger in the street or the safety of a sidewalk. He leads us
by the hand. Oh, blessed thought. And He'll lead us through even to when that day comes when we cross over the Jordan, when we pass through death to the other side. Is there a heaven on the other side? For those who trust in the Lord, yes, there is. Trust in the Lord. But if you lean on your own understanding, if you lean on your own reputation, if you lean on your own good name or good works, it will fail you. I shared this morning pictures of these guys building a bridge down there in Peru. And they were tethered to the bridge. They had their safety harnesses and all this stuff. The problem was the bridge gave way. Their confidence was in the bridge, but the bridge pulled them down to their death in the river. Six men died just 3 weeks ago now, down there where we cross that river every time we go to these churches. Their confidence was in what they had made and what they had constructed, but it failed. And if you're depending on what you've done and who you know and your good name or reputation to open the doors of heaven, it will fail you. Jesus is the only way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. Are you trusting Him? Are you trusting in what you've done? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's pray. Oh Lord, You've been patient. You've been merciful. You've been gracious. Help us, Lord. There is not a single solitary reason for us to say, no, we're not going to trust You. Or not a good reason. We can come up with reasons, but not a good reason to not trust You. You have proven Yourself faithful again and again and again. God, help us to trust You. Lead us, Lord, not in our own way, not in our own understanding. Lead us in Your paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Please, Lord, do that. Do that in each person here today. Cause them to cast off their own reasoning, their own ideas, and to trust in the Lord with all their hearts. Cause them to cast off their trusting in themselves, their works, their righteousness, and trust only in the righteousness of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Cause us, Lord, to trust in You. Give us grace, Lord, to trust in You when those problems, those trials come our way. Help us, Lord, to trust in You and know that You will direct our paths. Thank You, Father, for this church, for this pastor. And I ask Your blessing on them, that You would guide them in Your paths of righteousness, that You would lead them by Your own hand, as You promised to do. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your mercies that are new every single day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So let's all stand and sing our final hymn. It is hymn number 675, Only Trust Him.
Steve, thank you for bringing the message from the Word of God to us today, and thank you for being a living example of that text. Now, please hear God's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in His peace.